Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you came by today. We are going to have our friendly witch doctor show today and talk about gut health, your belly, what's going on in your belly and how it affects your overall health. It's really kind of important that everybody understands the worth of having a good digestive system, disposal system. All of those kind of things are incredibly important to your good health. I think that Monica and, of course, Shelley, with all of her studies in regard to this, have come up with a lot of information to share with us. Let me just say, though, in many, many cases, when you're a baby, when you're a newborn, you eat and you poop. You eat and you poop. And that's the way it's set up to be. For many of us, that stops very early on. From my own point of view, I noticed that men are a lot more regimented about potty time than women. My own personal excuse is that I never wanted to take the time. So my regimen in regard to potty time is horrible. So most of my life I've had to use some kind of help to be able to have some regularity in my life. But more than that, now we've learned about enzymes and acids and all the different things that work in our belly. It's like our brain runs part of us, our heart runs part of us, and our stomach is kind of like the work center. So I'm going to bring the ladies in this morning, but first I want to say today is my only daughter's birthday. I want to wish her a happy birthday. I put on Facebook this morning all those years ago. She was born during a snowstorm in upstate New York, in Ithaca, New York. And I woke up early in the morning knowing that I had been in labor most of the night, but it was very sketchy. And she was baby number three, so I wasn't afraid. But I never looked outside, which is a mistake in upstate New York, by the way. Most of you know that this year. So I went in the kitchen. I prepared my husband's Big Spike's lunch for the day, packed bags for Spikey and Mikey, who were babies, and got myself organized, took a shower, and by that time I was having labor pains that were about 7 to 8 minutes apart. And we were approximately 20 miles from the hospital, and we still had to drop off Spike and Mike. So I turned on the back porch light, and I see this huge blanket of white. So I run and get Big Spike, tell him I'm in labor, and tell him that we're snowed in. So he had a shovel, probably a 20 to 30 foot long driveway to get the car out. We get in the car, and it's touch and go all the way into Ithaca, because Ithaca in Newfield and West Danby are nothing but hills, for those of you who have never been there. And we dropped off Spikey and Mikey with their Aunt Barbara, my sister, and headed for the hospital. And Diana came into this world about just under 3 hours later, which showed me that her patience was going to be lacking as a child and as an adult, and it's true, they are. So happy birthday, honey. We're going to have a little get-together on Sunday for everybody. So let me bring in the girls. Good morning, Miss Monica. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you. How are you?
Are you snowed in there? I'm good.
It's
good weather here, and the
cold.
Sun is
no
shining.
Snow.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Good morning, Shell.
Good morning, Reen. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning.
Yeah,
so
I love that story about Diana, by the way.
Yeah. It's when I think about it now. You know, that must be why you have kids when you're young, because that would have stressed me out so bad I'd still be hanging on to her in my stomach if I was doing that today. Must be why you do that when you're young, right, Monica?
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
But there, three babies that year were born on snowmobiles. That's how bad the weather was that day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, March absolutely came
in like a lion that year.
Mm-hmm. Funny, right?
Those are some of our Olympic skiers, I guess, once they grow up.
Yeah, that could be. That could very well be. That's funny. I think that what we are going to talk about today, too, has, I mean, we've talked about so many things. And, of course, we've touched on, irritable bowel syndrome. We've talked about all the different things that can regiment from your gut. But we haven't really talked a lot about what goes on in that busy work center in our bodies. So I think Monica sent me something this morning that I very sadly, since I was doing all this updating for birthdays and what have you, I didn't open up and read. You want to talk about that, Monica?
Sure.
The thing that you sent me this morning, heal low stomach acid naturally. Because stomach acid, let's talk about that for a second. What is manifested from stomach acid? You girls, you want to touch on that before we talk about how to help it?
Well, the one thing I know about stomach acid, and I've talked on one of the other shows about that, is that if you don't have the normal HCI levels in your gut, in your stomach, that you're not breaking down food properly. And a lot of acid reflux and things like that is from an imbalance of that, and the body starts overproducing. So you can correct acid reflux by increasing the normal HCI level. A lot of people think it's the reverse. It's not. You have to correct that. You actually have an underproduction while trying to digest food, and then the body overproduces it, and it keeps producing it even when the food is being digested. And certain foods will stimulate an overproduction of it. So if you have a normal amount of it while you're eating, you'll actually be able to do away with acid reflux and things like that. And one of the easiest ways to correct that, the most efficient and natural ways, is by eating more greens. But people find it very unpleasant to sit down and have a mounding bowl of dark green kale or dark green spinach, and you need these dark green leafy vegetables. They're the only ones that can naturally restore the HCI levels in the gut, and that's where that book, Good Green Smoothies, came from. And what they do is they mix it with fruit. You know, you're not supposed to mix fruits and vegetables, but you can mix green leafy vegetables with fruits, and you're not going to get that bad food combining. So you can take mounds of green leafy kale or spinach, which are very strong in flavor, and mix in strawberries and other types of fruits that have strong flavors, and you've got an extremely healthy way to start the day, and you will within a matter of a few days, a few weeks, or maybe even over a month, depending on how severe your situation is, you will actually correct your HCI levels. And there is a book about that written by the Pachinko family, which is remarkable, and they give all kinds of recipes and everything, and they're delicious. You wouldn't think they would be, but because of the fruit you're adding in, you really don't taste the greens anymore, and you have an extremely healthy way to start the day.
I really enjoy, by the way, as a side note, kale and apple juice together. It's very refreshing, very refreshing, especially for a morning drink. It's light, and you can almost taste the health in it, but because of the apple, it kind of takes away the nasty part of health.
The only thing that the author had written about when she wrote that book is she said you shouldn't do the same greens every day. I forget the entire scientific explanation, but there was something how the body builds up, I don't want to say resistance because that's like a drug, but the body stops metabolizing it, so you should change it up. You know, do a few days of kale, a few days of spinach, a few days of, I'm drawing a blank on some other dark green leafy vegetables, but you should mix up at least two or three different ones and keep trading them up and try a couple of different recipes, and that's why they have this whole recipe book. But don't do kale every day of the month, you know, for 30 days straight. It's just not the healthy way of doing it.
Well, I think I've read that before too about not, well, and there are some schools of thought about kale being too strong on a regular basis, although everybody that gets on my Facebook that are juicers, almost every one of them have kale at least once a day in one of their juices. So I guess it depends on the person. So this article that Monica sent me, though, talks about Manuka honey, but I didn't finish reading it except for that it said part of that wasn't good for you. Want to touch on that, Mon?
Well, basically, the person that wrote this article said that Manuka honey or any raw honey will heal the stomach and increase your stomach acid, because what they're finding out now is that most people, especially as you age, have low stomach acid. And the way you know that that is happening is after you have a meal, especially with any meat. I know you guys don't eat meat, but if you've ever had, I mean, remember when you did eat meat, I know you must have had a turkey dinner on Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Oh, sure.
Whatever. And right
after
that, I've
eaten enough meat to have my own farm, honey. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Well, after that, you always felt tired and ready for a nap, and that was your stomach acid wasn't high enough to digest the food you just ate, so you get tired, or you have gas or belching. That's all symptoms of having low stomach acid, and one of the ways to fix that is to have honey once or twice a day. They say that Manuka honey might be too strong because if you remember, we talked about using that for H. pylori
and
things like that. It creates a peroxide effect, and that's why it kills bacteria so good, so well. So Manuka might be too strong, but just taking raw honey could help raise your stomach acid, or raw apple cider vinegar before you eat will also get your stomach acid up high enough to digest the food so it could pull the amino acids out of your food and the vitamins and minerals. So,
is that something that's also going to aid in weight loss?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because if your food is just sitting in your stomach, it's fermenting, you're getting gas, you're belching, you're, you know what I mean. And then it goes into the small intestine and ferments even further. And that's where some people are getting leaky gut syndrome and having all kinds of other problems, because I firmly believe this. All disease starts in the gut. And if your gut is not behaving like it should or normally, you're going to have problems with acid reflux and all that. And that's the other thing, you know, they're finding out. When you have acid reflux, heartburn, GERD, any of those things, most doctors, even now, will say Tums, there's a purple pill, Nexium, a purple pill that will reduce your stomach acid. Well, that's the wrong way to go. You've got to increase your stomach acid. And, you know, there's natural ways to do it. Also, fermented cabbage.
Well, that's big at the Institute. That's made fresh all the time for that reason, right?
Yeah, if you eat fermented foods, whether it's cabbage, fermented carrots, beet kvass, kombucha drinking, you know, or water kefir, that will also help digest your food better so that you can and give you probiotics. You know, so that will help in that regard.
Well, fermented foods are extremely healthy, and that's one of the reasons why tofu in the United States is not as healthy of an option as it is in Oriental countries where they ferment the product. Here it's like processed, like so many of the other things that we do in our fast food culture. But when you're getting these prepackaged tofus, a lot of them are not fermented. They're produced like in a factory, and it loses a lot of its benefits. Also, if you're not using the small portion of non-GMO soy that's out there, then you're getting a double hit. You're getting a highly processed food that's genetically modified. So it's very important that people look for, number one, non-GMO sources of tofu. But when you get the natural tofu, the way it's made, across the sea, it's a highly fermented product and it's very, very beneficial to the body. But people have to understand that the tofu that we get prepackaged in the United States is not the same bioavailability and it's not processed the same to aid our digestive system as it is where it comes from in the Orient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And also, because it's unfermented soy, you're getting those phytoestrogens, which help promote breast cancer and all kinds of problems. There's too much phytoestrogens in soy milk, tofu, anything that is not fermented.
And I was actually surprised online in the grocery store the other day, and there was a woman she saw me buying coconut milk, and she had told me that she's going through menopause, so she's doing all these soy products, and she said that her doctor told her that the soy products were good for going through menopause. And I looked at her and I said, well, I said, it's actually the opposite. I said, soy products are going to mess with your hormones. And as I said to her, I said, it's got phytoestrogens in it. I said, it's actually going to create additional problems for you. A better choice would be to go to almond milk or coconut milk or one of these. I said, and get away from as many soy products as you can. I said, there are times in your life that won't bother you, but I said, right now when you're already having hormone fluctuations, this is not the right time to go to soy milk. And she was shocked because her doctor told her to do as much soy as she could.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well, that's the way they were taught 15, 20 years ago,
you know,
and doctors are not re-educating themselves.
Nope.
The latest research, what's going on, it's crazy. And I'll bet you that woman did not put that soy milk back. I bet you she bought it anyways, even after you told her that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I told her, because I don't expect people to just accept what I say. I told her, I said, go and Google it on the Internet. I said, read some articles and see what you think. But I said, I worked at a health institute for 7 years, and I said, and this is the new information that's out there. So hopefully I spiked her curiosity. You know, I didn't expect, she doesn't know who I am. I could be a nut.
I know.
What do you mean you could be?
Yeah, very much. Very much.
I hate missing those opportunities. You know, what can you both touch on? I'm glad you brought up soy, because I'm trying to remember everything that happened a few years ago at the institute. Everybody was gung ho on soy. Everybody, every vegetarian I knew, participated in the usage of some kind of soy, whether it was soy milk, soy ice cream, soy burgers. And then all of a sudden, the director at the institute, he just kind of like said, no more soy. Y'all got to start cutting back on the soy. Can you guys touch on why that happened?
Well, I don't think probably it was originally that demonstrated that soy really messed with our hormones to the degree they did. I don't know that there was so much genetically modified soy, going back 20 years ago or something like that.
No.
A lot of vegetarians, when you think about it, a lot has happened in the last couple of decades, because 20 years ago, all the meat substitutes were soy. There was no pea protein being used. There was no wheat gluten being used per se. you didn't have almond yogurt, coconut yogurt, you know, all these other types of alternate yogurts. Soy was it. Soy was used for every, you had soy cheeses, soy burgers, soy, you know, soy yogurts. That's it. That was the only option. It was used very, very heavily. Then the GMO soy started heavily hitting the market, and you started seeing packages that said non-GMO, that kind of thing. And I think that's when it really came to light of some of the – I don't know exactly when it happened. Maybe Monica does. But at some point –
1995.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, all right. So more than 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first became vegetarian, which was in 1998, the only alternatives were really soy, unless you were doing raw food preparation. But I'm talking about going into a health food store and getting, a veggie burger. It was always soy meat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you
now,
have
of course,
so many
you get
different
veggie burgers in almost, there must be, 20 types of veggie burgers now, maybe more?
Yeah, but see, like that company, Gardein, is my favorite now. And there's a little bit of soy in some of their products, but they use mostly pea protein, which is very, very healthy for the body. You know, mostly organic ingredients. It's a completely vegan product. And I've turned a couple of my meat-eating friends onto the Gardein. In fact, I spoke to one woman yesterday. She lost 35 pounds, and she's been battling with diabetes. Her diabetes is improving, and she's really gotten away from eating meat, and she loves the Gardein. She gets the beefless tips and the chick scallopini and the chicken strips and all that. And this is how she really has completely moved away from meat. She said she feels like she's still eating meat when she eats these. And the good thing about it is it's like I said, there's very little soy, if any at all, and it's like really good vegetable proteins in there. And like a serving gives you anywhere from 14 to 20 grams of protein per serving of this product, and very low intake. So. But again, like I said, originally soy was the only option out there, and that's why everybody was using it. And now you have many other options.
But I think that people want to, I want to stick in a side note here for the ladies. The ladies are giving you valid information because they've been studying this. One of the things we can't do when we decide to make a life change like this, like becoming a vegetarian or maybe just three times a week having something that isn't. Most people that are meat eaters eat meat 7 days a week and often twice a day. And that's okay if you're healthy and you're doing your thing. We are never trying to teach or tell everybody that, you know, whatever we're suggesting is absolutely hands down the right way for you because we're all so different. But let me say that if you listen to commercials, if you pay attention to somebody who's trying to sell you something, you need to do a little bit of personal research before you buy it. So when somebody says to you, this is the perfect thing and you can have this, a lot of people right now are pushing Gardein. I mean, a lot of my vegetarian friends, a lot of the health educators that I am still close to, they talk about Gardein like it's the, you know, the next best thing to peanut butter and jelly, for sure. So it has been researched to some degree by a lot of people I know, and it is a good product. But be careful. Just because something says that it's this, this, and this, you still have to read the label. Remember the show that we did and talked about reading the labels on everything, and I mentioned to everybody that they should go into the store and look in the chemical aisle for cleaning their bathroom and see what the first line in the directions is in the back. It's almost always start with a clean bathroom.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So pay attention.
I think that's hilarious.
Read the label.
First time you told me that, I didn't I believed you, but I didn't believe that would be put on a label. I was so surprised. Mm-hmm. It seems kind of dopey. Mm-hmm. Start with a clean bathroom. How funny.
Yeah. So,
the Gardein protein is becoming now, there's actually a lot of vegetarian restaurants or restaurants that serve vegetarian options that are now actually advertising that they carry Gardein options. Yard House up in Palm Beach Gardens Mall, for those who live in Florida, the Yard House up there actually has a whole line on one of their menu pages. It's all Gardein vegetarian entrees. And Darbster's, that is a vegan restaurant over in West Palm Beach, has a uses a lot of gardein protein in most of their vegan dishes in lieu of soy options. So it's becoming more and more popular in the vegan vegetarian options.
Mhm. Well, and I love it too. I use it a lot. I make steamed vegetables with the beef tips in it all the time, and a lot of the kids here have eaten it and thought they were getting very tender roast beef. So it is a good product. Let's talk a little bit about the this always amazes people when you say this. Raw apple cider vinegar is supposed to be good to lower stomach acid. And, of course, everybody thinks vinegar because it's sour, tart, whatever you want to call it, strong. It would increase that. Can we talk to how that balance works?
Well, raw apple cider vinegar does increase your stomach acid, and that's a good thing. And trying to get some people who have been told for years and years and years, the reason why you have heartburn or GERD or whatever is because your stomach acid is too high is actually wrong. Their stomach acid is too low.
Right.
And that's why they have to increase it so that they don't get heartburn. Now, after years and years of taking heartburn medication, there's your esophageal sphincter is right above your stomach, and that could become flexible and open too much. And if you don't have enough stomach acid, the food is backing up and coming up that sphincter muscle, esophageal sphincter muscle, and that's why they're getting like acid reflux and all that. They're feeling the pain. But if they would raise their stomach acid, that would certainly help. And nobody should ever take any Tums or anything like that, because that just makes the problem worse, and you're just covering up symptoms instead of getting to the actual problem, which is low stomach acid for all these things. And there's things like taking enzymes or making sure that you're eating the right foods like green leafy vegetables to increase the enzyme, and increasing your probiotics by drinking the kombucha or fermented vegetables, things like that would really help. Another thing that people do everywhere, I mean, even my husband and my kids have gotten into this. People drink before their meal, during their meal, water. That is the wrong thing to do. I have never, ever drank any water with my meals. I never drink anything. And that's since I was a kid because, according to my parents, if you drink, you're not going to eat your food, you know. But, and I've just always done it that way. But what it does is it dilutes your digestive juices,
right,
and that impairs the breakdown of your food. You should never drink anything before, during, or immediately after your dinner and or lunch, breakfast, whatever you're eating. And also chew your food. And this is something that I find really hard to do. Eating my food, chewing my food till it's almost liquefied and then swallowing. Because that makes it a lot easier for your stomach to digest your food if it's pretty much broken up. But if you're taking huge hunks and just chewing a couple of times and then swallowing, that makes it much harder.
Well, that's a good point. And a lot, you know, and these are the things that we're not taught. You know, everybody takes health class, or it's called something else now, but when I was a kid it was called health, and you learn how the body worked and all this. But we were never taught about how the digestive system worked. We were never taught as kids not to drink. So, you know, here, the first time I ever learned that was when I was in my 40s, that you're not supposed to drink when you eat. It makes sense now that I learned it, but it's hard
right.
to go when you've gone your entire life always having something with it, you know, some drink with it. So that's like probably one of the biggest transitions when people would go to Hippocrates is telling them not to drink before, during, or shortly after a meal to because you're, like you said, you're diluting your natural digestive enzymes. And one of the reasons that you're supposed to chew the food, it's called masticating the food more thoroughly, you know, don't chomp
on it. That
sounds
like such a dirty word, doesn't it?
Oh, isn't that a great word? But you're supposed to chew it till it starts liquefying is because
right.
you have enzymes in your saliva. That's the whole point.
Yes.
And you actually start, it's not that you're breaking it down with your teeth, you're actually breaking it down with a biochemical reaction that starts in the mouth, and you assist then the acids in the stomach breaking it down. So when you understand how the digestive system works, then it's really up to you to start changing your habits. Even if you do it a little bit at a time, chomp on it instead of three times, maybe chomp on it six times until you get used to doing it longer. But, you know, it actually, I've done both because I used to be a speed eater. I'd break for lunch and 4 minutes later I'd be done and everybody else would still be eating and I'd go back to work, right? And I had terrible indigestion and I used to live on Tums. This is before I became vegetarian, before I learned everything I knew. But I had terrible eating habits, and I always had heartburn and indigestion and stuff like that, and I used to live on Tums. And then I started learning what Tums – I never did the pharmaceuticals. I never went to Nexium or anything, but I did live on antacid pills because it was just so uncomfortable all the time. And what was funny is that I'm back on this – I'm doing the HCG diet again. I just lost 11 pounds, and one of the things they have you do on there is you're supposed to go through what's called loading days. For 2 days, you're supposed to eat a lot of fatty products, things like that. Well, I don't eat meat, so the way I get high level of fats is with cheese products, and I generally don't eat cheese. But I got a lot of good organic cheeses and stuff, but I don't normally eat that way, and I overate. And at the end of the second loading day, I was having such awful, awful heartburn because my body's not used to eating like that. And it was like a flashback to like 15 years ago for me. I was like, oh, my God. And I know there are people that live like this day in and day out. And once you understand that your food choices are really stimulating that, you know, alter it. My good God, I was like, I couldn't wait to actually start the diet. And psychologically, it's one of the things the force feeding does for you. But once I started the diet, it took 2 days. And now I'm fine again. No acid reflux, no discomfort. Everything feels good again. I got my energy back. But for those 2 days, as much as I was enjoying what I was eating, I was doing pizzas and things like that, it really messed up with my stomach acids big time. You know, it's like I couldn't wait to start the diet and stop with all this nonsense. One piece of advice I think is good to give people, because this is what I went through. When I changed my dietary habits, I had certain foods that I really loved and that I missed when I became a vegetarian or missed when I was going through my health-restrictive diet. And one of the things to tell people is that if you have foods that you really, really love, it doesn't mean if you start eating healthy you can never have them again, but don't have them every day. There was 1 week there where, like, every day I was running around with my sister and my niece, and every day we stopped and we got pizza. It's not vegan, but it is vegetarian. It's not organic, but it's what it was there, and I like pizza, and I hardly ever eat it. Well, like for a week straight, I ate pizza every day, and by the end of that week, I was having this acid reflux because the last 2 days was our loading days. But if I eat a slice of pizza once and then maybe a week later I have another one, I get no symptoms from it. I don't get the acid reflux. I don't get any discomfort. So if there are things you really crave and you really like, just don't have them every day. Give your body a rest. Allow everything to balance out and, you know, space it. It doesn't mean you can never have it, but also be reasonable and don't have it every day just because you like it if it's causing you discomfort and it's forcing you to take medication to deal with it, because you're harming your body when you do that.
Well, everything that we talk about, of course, has to be done with a sense of reality. I mean, you start telling people if you, you know, if you drink all these raw juices and everything, and you do this and you do that, you still have to do things within, you know, exercise some control over what you're doing, I guess is the best way to put it. So I think that everything you do that is going to make you healthier is a plus, but even that, you know, you have to do it in some moderation. If you just take off and start doing that first, and you're not in an institute, you're not at a health place, you're not someplace where you can sleep a lot and you can rest your body and everything, you're going to go into a major detox. And a lot of people don't get any further than that because they think that all their new choices have made them sick. When in actuality, you're detoxing. You're bringing you're cleaning up your body, but you're doing it too quickly. I used to tell people in a lecture when we talked about detox, it's like you're in a race car and you're going around this big oval racetrack, and you get up your speed on the straightaway, and then when it's time to turn a corner, you slow down. It's the same way with a program like this. You have to listen to your body. If you're doing it too fast, then what we would do is we'd have the kitchen steam a sweet potato and make sweet potato soup for somebody to slow down the detox a little bit. So all of these things that the girls are sharing with you are amazing things, and you will see amazing results. I watched it for 10 years. It can be, to say the least, life-changing. However, if you do this without any help and just start, if you've got the kind of personality where somebody tells you just eat this, 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 and you can do that, which some people can, without any qualms, you will go into a detox. So let's, Monica, first you say something about slowing down the detox and things that can keep the detox under control, and then shall you touch on it, because you'll both have different things to say about that than what I just said. But I think that's what stops a lot of people, because they think the new stuff that they're doing is not good for them. It's making them sick. So let's touch on that.
Until a person, because it's all new to them. I mean, I do research all the time on these things, and I try different methods of detoxing my body, the liver, the kidney, colon, all this. And you always get in, I always get impatient, and I want to see the results. I want to get through this and be done with it. But then you get the detox, and you get flu-like symptoms. And that, you know, it's like two steps, or one step forward, two steps back. You really have to be patient when you're trying to change your gut and change your health. Otherwise, you will get sick. And some people, especially if you're doing like a juice detox, some people will just go for it like gangbusters and go mm-hmm. through those flu-like symptoms and be done with it. And it takes like 3 days to a week of those flu-like symptoms, but it's actually the detox. Mm-hmm. And I tried it. I couldn't do it. I got too sick. So it's a matter of being patient when you're trying to get your health back on track.
Mhm. Mhm. And how do you feel about
that?
What
do you think, Shelley? What?
Shelley. Are you there, Shel?
Oh, sorry. I had you guys muted. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was getting myself a cup of coffee. I didn't want to see you hear you clanking around my pot and everything, so I muted it, and
okay.
I forgot to unmute it. Anyway,
so how do you feel about the detox part of it?
Well, and I agree with Monica that and what you said also is that is what prevents a lot of people from improving their dietary habits or going through some sort of a cleanse, because they think they're hurting themselves, because detox symptoms can be quite intense. I mean, you can, like she said, you can feel like you have a full-blown flu, and I've gone through this, and You know, I mean, you get the sore throat and the runny nose and the sneezing. It actually is like you have a flu. I used to tell people it's kind of, when you detox the body, it's kind of like if you were to dust and vacuum a room. So you go around, you start dusting, you walk into this a house that you're buying, it's been abandoned forever, and you start cleaning a room up. Well, instantly, now you're cleaning the room, but you haven't removed it. You're kind of removing it from shelves. You start sneezing. What happens? You start sneezing. You might start coughing a little bit. Until you vacuum and mop and finish the job, you're going to keep reacting to all this nonsense that you're getting up and out of the walls. When you're all done, then you stop sneezing and coughing. It's the same thing with detoxing inside of the body. Think of it as like dusting the inside of your body. You're kind of shaking everything up, and your body's reacting now to these toxins that are free-flowing, that are being marginally reabsorbed, but they're being reabsorbed and eliminated through the body now. And that's where the symptoms come from, because now you're shaking all these toxins loose. While the toxins are there, though, they're disabling your intestinal tract, they're disabling your digestive, and they are radically disabling or diminishing the integrity of your immune system. So cleansing the body is really, really important. Doing a detox and shedding these toxins is really, really important, because once you get past the really unpleasant symptoms, which can last anywhere from 3 to 10 days, if you're really, really toxic, it can go up to 10 days, by the way.
And I've seen that happen many times.
You have to understand.
I'm going to bring in Elise. Elise has joined us, and she wants to say something, so I'm going to bring her in. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning there. Oh, gosh, I didn't know that I wanted to say anything, but I have a million things to say. Good morning, Shelley. How are you guys today?
Good morning.
I've been looking into, because, and Rainey, I haven't spoken with you in a while, but years ago, I'll just make a long story short, peeling hands. It's kind of like, I guess the holistic healers call it the healing, you know, I forgot the name. Anyway, skin peeling, eczema, really bad. You know, you've had radio programs on rosacea and psoriasis and seborrhea dermatitis. Well, I have that in spades. And I had cleaned it up. I had finally gotten, you know, 100% recovery. And all of a sudden, when I started taking the blue-green algae and the mushrooms, it started happening again. And I was like, whoa. So I started looking into it, found out that there's something called retracing, that where your body remembers toxins that are in your body. And it was said to me by someone else that I met that I should do a parasite cleanse. And I said, oh, well, I've had parasite tests, and it came back, you know, negative. It was just, you know, chemical sensitivity. And the person said, no, you don't understand what can be going on in your gut from when you were younger. And then we started talking about pinworms and, you know, all the disgusting things that actually live in your gut. And he sent me to his website, which is creationhealing.com, www.creationhealing.com. His name is Michael Becerra. He kicked cancer's butt, some kind of anal, very aggressive stage 4 cancer. He has parasite cleanses. He talks about detoxing. He is so knowledgeable in this arena, as is my business partner with, you know, what I do with the blue-green algae. But, you know, I am not as knowledgeable as all you guys, but I do know that when you go through detox, yeah, it's like cleaning house. That was a great analogy, Shelley. You know,
and the website is creationhealing.com. Is that what you said?
Creationhealing.com. I will email Rini when I'm in front of my computer, which I'm not right now. But
yeah,
I
find that retracing fascinating. I want to do some research on that. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, I've never heard about it. Apparently, you know, your body has a memory for toxins, so that when you start putting really good stuff in your system, and probiotics do cleanse the system. But what I understand is there's a gazillion probiotics out there, and probiotics only work in your body if your body also has the necessary essential enzymes. But the
problem
is,
yeah, you
got to
put probiotics and enzymes together. I agree with that.
But even when you have enzymes, the problem then becomes, okay, you got the probiotics, you got the enzymes, but then it's, do the enzymes have the proper protein source in the body to feed off of? Because if they, then it's not being as efficacious. It's not going to assimilate and do what it's intended to do. So the protein source that the enzymes have to feed off of in the body they really need, of course, what is Elise August going to say? Super blue-green algae. That's what I've been learning about the whole detox, that it's not just doing a detox cleanse, because once it's over, people go back to the same, you know, way, whether they juice or they eat raw or they do all the healthy things and exercise, the gut still fills up. So it's so important, even after you get through this detox, to continually add probiotics, enzymes, super blue-green algae into the body on a daily basis to keep the gut cleansed. That's mm-hmm. what I've learned about the whole detox. That's really the only thing that I can add here, you know, and I just caught the conversation late in the game because I'm running around with the kids in school.
Well, that's good advice, and that can actually help during the detox. We were discussing, like, how to diminish the effects of a detox. Actually taking the probiotics and enzymes during the detox process will help with some of the discomfort, because some of the discomfort comes from when somebody starts eating better and they're
right.
introduced for raw fruits and vegetables, they lack the digestive enzymes to break these foods down, and they start getting like stomach and you know, like stomach cramping, or they start getting a lot of bloating in their belly. So this helps with that.
And absolutely. I'm sorry to cut you off. I met somebody yesterday, a young girl. She's almost 18 years old. I'm teaching at a local high school, and one of her girlfriends, you know, we were talking about health and algae because it was a science class, and she started telling me that her friend is going from gastroenterologist to this doctor to that doctor, having algae testing on food, and apparently she has a lot of enzymes in her body that are overworking. She has 20
wow.
ulcers. She's not even 20 years old. She has 20 ulcers. I said, let me take care of her. I'll put her in touch with my partner who will totally get her well. And
mm-hmm.
it's amazing the things that people have going on with their stomachs these days. And they say it's from the GMOs because the GMOs are meant to explode the bug's stomachs. And instead, it's also exploding human beings' stomachs.
Right, right. Well, the whole thing is genetically modified food, you know, I don't understand why scientists think that they can genetically modify something that is supposed to be broken down by the body, and they've laced a particular food with something that's going to make it either deter pests or something like that, and that it's not going to have an adverse reaction in the human body. I have articles here that were written over 20 years ago about the negative effects of GMO foods that they were already discovering back then. And it didn't even slow down the trend at all. They just kept forging forward. And it's, you know, our bodies are very sensitive, very, very sensitive chemical reactors. And GMO foods are not seen as appropriate foods in our body. It's not recognizing the proper, you know, combination of molecules and different types of the components of natural food. Our bodies are not recognizing in GMO foods. And it's almost the body is reacting to GMO foods as though they're toxins.
So, and that's what's happening, yeah. I mean, the synthetics from vitamins also. I mean, the bodies are reacting to even things that, you know, we hear are good. I think the whole GMO argument, though, goes to the third world countries where they're able to nurture and feed more people. You know, that's just some of the stuff I was doing. But I think it's just nonsense. I think
it's nonsense.
Yeah.
And there's so many well-written books about that, how they show the farmland that would be necessary to stop world starvation literally inside a single generation is already there, and it's being misused. It's extremely inefficient to use acreage to feed animals the grain that could be going to humans. If you would stop overproducing meat, and actually, you know, help society over a certain amount of time to break away from eating meat three times a day, which is unhealthy anyway, and use that same farmland that we're feeding grains to cows and pigs and chickens that are being overproduced to meet an unreasonable demand for meat on the body, and that same grain could be feeding the world. So, but people don't understand this. They're not educated. And it doesn't mean you have to give up meat totally, but you know, I used to eat meat three times a day, and once I learned this, I first went to eating meat once a day. I didn't just, like, hop into being a vegetarian. It happened over time as I became more and more educated.
Well, I think there's a revolution going on. I do think it's beginning. I do think people are starting to wake up, you know, not just the granola people. I think, people out and about that are now learning what genetically modified organisms are in the foods. You know, at least the word GMO is getting out there more. And I think it's beginning, and I really believe that it's just the start. And, you know, there are some companies, not many, actually I really only know of one, but on a large scale, that are really going to bring awareness, you know, to the general public about what's going on. And you guys are having a very hot topic here on detoxification, because most people, not most, all people, their guts are just toxic. And,
yep.
You know, it's all based around the conversation of what's going on with our foods. And, I mean, GMOs, I believe, are in the corn, which is even in corn chips. And then the corn goes to the wheat, and this is where you guys know more than I do, but even if we're just eating maybe popcorn that doesn't have no GMOs listed on the ingredient base, you know, that can be troublesome as well, just something simple like that.
Well, corn, the GMO'd corn right now that is in everything that everybody eats, pick up any kind of packaged product, you're going to see corn in it, or corn syrup, or
high-fructose
syrup.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Unless it says non-GMO sourced, you're getting GMO corn or corn byproducts. That is one of the number one causes of obesity in this country today. Look around. There are, you don't have the kid in class anymore that's a little overweight. You've got like half the class now are these kids that are obese, getting diabetes, already having blood pressure issues, you know, in teenagers.
I see it firsthand. I saw it yesterday. I would say that that's pretty accurate. I mean, and even, you know, and they wear really short shirts and everything, so you can really see it all. I mean, these kids,
what,
the girls, they're overweight.
Is from the GMO'd corn, because the corn is being genetically modified to make cows get fatter quicker, to bulk up in size quicker so that they can come to the mature slaughter weight for meat production, because they can't allow the cows to to grow the way they normally would, because to butcher weight faster so they can keep turning the herds over. Okay, now that same corn that was developed to make cows fat is now being fed to human beings if you're getting things that are genetically modified corn. So now you have, what it does is it increases appetite and it slows down metabolism. So now we have a nation that is becoming obese, not as an exception, but almost as a rule. Everybody's on a diet. Everybody has issues with their weight. And every single time I have started eating some kind of a corn product, I'll gain. In fact, I didn't realize it until I read the article. I was like, oh, my God, they're right. So I really just steer clear of corn products unless I find something that's non-GMO, or I'll eat it if I'm at a restaurant. I'll get something that may have corn in it, and then I just don't eat it again, you know, if you don't do it on a regular basis. But there are people that eat corn chips every day, or popcorn, or they're getting anything that's a corn byproduct, and they're not getting the GMO in it.
What about corn on the cob?
Yeah, high fructose corn syrup really, really messes with our metabolism. Our body has a very hard time breaking it down.
If it's organic corn on the cob, Elise, fresh from a garden that you're, then you should, you hopefully would be all right. But I'm not too sure anymore, because I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. And of course, the other thing that I want to make a big statement about, let's all say this together. What is this about at the end of the day? The GMOs and the fattening of cattle before they should be fat, and the
getting sick.
Money.
Disease.
No, it's all about the companies making money. They're trying to turn the herds over faster.
Right.
It's all about the money. All about the money. You know,
right.
35 years ago, Big Spike went to North Dakota with a friend of his to work for the summer to make some extra cash for us. And they built these pens for pigs. And a big sow or hog, whatever you want to call them, the male pigs in most cases, because the female pigs were used to mass produce, they are put in these pens, these cement pens, where they can't move, and fed all these corn products to fatten them up.
Yep.
Over all of the pork products, the bacon, the sausage, and the pork chops, and the this and the that. When he came home and told me that that's what they were doing, I was mortified. I said, what do you mean? They don't let these pigs walk? No, if they the meat gets too stringy, they get too many muscles trying to carry their weight, so they just fatten them up in this pen. And, of course,
yep.
It's all gone about stories about animal abuse in regard to feed. But at the end of the day, and this was 35 years ago, girls, this was not yesterday. This was 35 years ago. So this has been going on for a long time. We're almost
yep.
out of time, though. I want to say, let's sum up what we talked about today to a little bit of a degree. Let's talk about the fact that we talked about gut health. We talked about good bacteria, good flora in your belly to help digest the food that you're eating. Be careful about what you eat. Read labels before you pick up something that's in a box or a can or anything like that. Pay attention to what you're putting into your body. We don't expect everybody to go out and go raw and start drinking cabbage juice all day today, because then what will happen, you will start detoxing and you'll think none of it works, it's making you sick. Make your choices wisely. Get information. Monica has become an expert. Monica, how long have you been researching this? All these different things that you're doing now.
2.5 to 3 years. I've
okay.
been really going gung-ho on the research and...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you're incredibly
health.
Knowledgeable. Yes, you're incredibly knowledgeable, and I think what you share with us is awesome. Shell has been on a life journey, and she did it for her own health. That's how it started out. So
started in 1998.
1998. God,
yep.
That was a long time ago, honey. That was a long yep. time ago. But the point I'm trying to make here is educate yourselves. Listen to what we're saying. Don't just go out there and blindly, because we are not, you know, we are not trying to be authoritative in your life. We're just trying to give you other options. If you are tired of getting up every morning and feeling like crap, do something about it. Do
all
something
right.
about it. But research it enough so that you know what you're doing and you take responsibility for yourself. Everything that we talk about bullying, everything I talked about yesterday about standing up for yourself, doesn't mean you punch somebody in the eye. It means you learn how to handle the crap that they're dishing out to you, right? It's the same with the advertisement world. Learn how to handle the crap that they're dishing out to us.
Right.
So
and by
I want
the way,
to wish everybody a great
show,
day,
I
too.
I do have at least 4 or 5 different ways of slowing a detox down and diminishing
mm-hmm.
the effects of it. So maybe we can
mm-hmm.
start the next show, or maybe on recap day this Friday, I can just
mm-hmm.
quickly run through those. Because there are some really easy ways of slowing a detox down and kind of diminishing the intensity of the symptoms, that it's what forces people to stop doing the cleansing they're on.
I'd love
mm-hmm.
to get Barb on for that. I mean, she's just amazing. You know, she's been doing this for 30-plus years, and I think that you guys would all really, really, really benefit. And she could keep it neutral, Renee. You know, we don't
mm-hmm.
have to mention New Earth. We don't have to go there with that. She can definitely...
I'm all right if she mentions New Earth. I don't have a problem with that. It's free advertisement on here. You can talk about anything you want to talk about, but I want to
She'll
make
know.
Sure that everybody understands that our comments are a point of view. And if
right.
If you have issues going on in your own life, it's not our responsibility, it's yours. So we're giving you food for thought, if you'll excuse the pun. And and
that's
we'd like to let you know that there are options out there. So if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you make the move. You know, it's up to you. It's your responsibility. And all we're trying to do is help and give people other options. I want to thank all three of you. I love all your input, and when I sit back and just listen, it's full of information and knowledge that you've all brought into your own lives. So I congratulate you on that as well. But I want everybody to go out and have a great day. Tomorrow, because of something that's happened here recently in a town that's close to us, we're going to talk about hoarding again, because this is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because I think some people are watching some of the shows and realizing that they're in trouble and they're asking for help. There was a development in Deerfield Beach, which is not very far from us, that actually had to be condemned.
Oh, wow.
Because there were three
places that were the people living there were hoarding. And one of the other things that I see is a lot of these people that are hoarding are disabled. So we're going to talk about that again tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. In the meantime, everybody go out there and have a great, great day. And happy birthday again to my kid. Bye-bye, everybody. Love you. God bless.
Bye.
Bye, ladies. Bye-bye. Happy birthday, Diana. Bye, Reen.
Bye-bye, honey.